Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
Church, say praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and put our hands together one more time for the Lord this evening. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to put my phone here to act like I have a timer. I don't ever put a timer on God, never will, never have. It ain't going to happen. And I'll tell you why, because I got two notebooks up here, and I might have to go through the both of them, so... There you go. That's about how long it's going to be, because there's about two pages in this one and three in that one. So, you're going to be here for a while. I'm just kidding. Not really. I'm kind of out of a loss at the moment, because I know a lot of people know how this is. You know, typically right before something good happens, something bad happens. And that's been my week. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's been my week. Like something's going to throw me off, and I can sit back and I can laugh at it, and I can laugh at it over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden, there's a point where I just come to a breaking point, and I get mad about it. And then what good does it do? So then I start laughing about it, because the next day it happens again. And, you know, the day is completed. I get to make it home to my family, and I get to love on my boys and my wife. And all those things that happen in the day at work get to stay at work. And the only thing that follows me is my brother that works with me now, and I can't get rid of him, but, you know, it is what it is. All these things can happen, and I just laugh about it. And today, specifically, started this major project. In our eyes, to Matthew, it's just his workplace. But we started a job for Tishomingo County Electric Company. We are remodeling the power company. And, you know, that's a great thing. You get in for the city of Iuka, and you get this big company, and, you know, it's awesome. And you could get all this work from it, but one little thing goes wrong and messes it all up. That's a pretty aggravating point. So I get there this morning. I was past two nights. I haven't got home until 8 or 8:30. And last night, my family went with me to go to Lowe's and pick up materials. And that's the time that we spent together. And then I get there this morning, and this is wrong and that's wrong, and they want this and they want that, after we talked about that and this, and I just made it right and went and got everything. It was aggravating. Didn't get the day started till 10 o'clock. It is what it is. Something running there. Caden can correct me on that, something like that. Either way it goes, we got some progress made, and, you know, things happen, and I get off of work, and I'm going to do a touch up on another project, and realize I forgot my electrical bag, because I had to go and check some electrical in the truck. Well, the truck's in Iuka, I'm in Corinth. I ain't going back. So I went and bought a couple tools. I'm going to go fix it. Called the lady, texted her, never got a response. So I turned around, went to the bank, put money in the bank, turned around from there. Was going by Corinth, dry cleaner said, oh, wait, Brooke took my suits to the dry cleaner. I need to pick those up so I have something to wear tonight. Whipped up in there, and I go in there, and, hey, man, I'm here to pick up for Taylor Johnson. He goes, oh, yeah. Comes back, and I knew it. As soon as he walked through the door, it was just, man, it's going to be tomorrow. Well, it's time to break out the suit coat that's too small, the other pants to dress up. I'm here. God's going to work, and it's going to be what it is. I'm telling you that when something bad happens, and it seems like the aggravating things just keep happening, something good is bound to happen. And I believe that tonight is that night for something to happen. It's been spoke about that miracles can happen. I've been praying all day that the miracles can happen. All you have to do is put yourself in a position to receive the Word of God. You may be seated. I'm going to start this off with first the appreciation of our pastor. We have the greatest pastor on earth for allowing me to stand behind his pulpit on this platform and give the word that God has given to me. I want to thank my family for pushing me and being behind me every step of the way. And I thank you for being behind me, even when it doesn't seem like I may be doing the best that I can do or the most that I can do. You still stand behind me, each and every one of you, and push me to do better. I thank you, the greatest church on earth. I'm going to give you my title, and then I'm going to take you through a little thing called football. My title is, Are You a Pretender? And thank you, Joey, or a Contender? I was going to say a pretender or a participator just because participator sounds fun to say. I don't know why. You just get those words sometimes. Or you can say a pretender or a participant, whatever, you know. But he came up with this one. I think it was, I was on the phone with Karen talking. Something said something about, Joey said, you know, you could do pretender or or a contender. Sounds great. Got another point out of it. So thank you, Joey. But anyway, Sam, throw me that thing there. Hang on, because I'm not as good as I used to be. I can't just, In the South, I would go as far to say that this right here is the greatest game for the South. Correct me if I'm wrong. Basketball is not near as important. I don't know of a single person that likes soccer. And if they do, they're kids. Because don't nobody want to run for 90 minutes straight. Because I don't, and you can tell by looking at me. Baseball's pretty awesome. You know, that's pretty cool. It's up there. Now, rugby's not around here, but rugby's pretty cool. I will say that. That's the real man football. No pads, no armor, no nothing, no safety. You just get run smooth over. I mean, that's awesome. Ball looks a little different, but either way it goes. I would be safe to say that this right here would be the most famous game in the South. Would I be correct? How in the world does this relate to what is going on here tonight? How does it relate to a spiritual standpoint? Because most of the time, when somebody thinks about a football, it's more of a carnal situation. I can tell you right now that I can look Jake in the face and say, go Cowboys, and what is he going to do? Go Birds. I can look at Brother Matt and Ryan in the face and say, Roll Tide. And what are they going to do? There is obviously can be some tension in the carnal realm of things when it comes to football. But if you understand the game of football, or if you don't understand the game of football, let me tell you for just a minute, give you a brief rundown. There's a one team over here that is made up of about 50 or so people, and there's a team over here that's made up of about 50 or so people, and they come together and they create this awesome scheme of thing, and they practice, and they suit up, and sometimes you got practices where you don't necessarily knock each other out. Those were the greatest practices. I've been on both ends of that, getting knocked out or knocking out. But you know, you get all these schemes and all these things together, and there's 11 guys on this side of the ball, and there's 11 guys on this side of the ball, and one side of the ball is called offense, and the other one's called defense. And the main goal of the offense is to advance the ball 10 yards in 4 tries to make it, we're going to say 100 yards because technically what the field is, but you could start on the 20 and go 80, start on the 50, go 50, whatever. But your main goal is that you have to take this ball and carry it 10 yards. Now you can do that by running, or you can do that by passing it, or maybe the defense, you know, has a penalty on them and you get free yards. Not three, but free. That's awesome. Your goal on offense is to advance this ball, to make it to the end zone, to get points, to win the ball game. The defense, now, me personally, I played middle linebacker. I loved headhunting. I loved being middle linebacker. I loved defense. I just loved it. I can go through the memories of standing on a field and watching the guard do this, and that gives me my key to go do that, and so on and so forth. But defense, I loved defense. But my goal on defense was to keep the offense from making said yards. I relate to this so much because I played it. I was technically raised as a basketball kid, but I picked up football more specifically, more in more depth when I was a freshman in high school, and I played all through the high school. And you know, from being a freshman all the way through senior, you know, we may have won 5 games out of 44. We played 11 each season. We won 5 games out of 44 games. It's terrible, you know, it is. But I tell you what, them 5 games, I guarantee you 4 of those was Biggersville, and they're one of the strongest teams in the county. So I can honestly say I never lost to Biggersville. Ha, McCaden, because he goes there. I never lost to them. I was a part of winning that game. Now, the other 10 games, we're going to keep that in the past. We ain't going to talk about it. Y'all forget about it. It ain't happening. I ain't talking about it. I'm going to talk about the victories. I ain't talking about the defeats. But in the game of football, the offense is going to go out there, and they're going to line up. And you've got a helmet on. You got shoulder pads. Some people wear chest plates and back plates. And, you know, you got the pants on with all the pads and everything to protect you. And you strap on your cleats, and you got all kinds of different cleats. They're high tops and low whatever you want to call them. And those are typically the ones that people turn their ankles in the most. But I always liked them. And you strap on this gear, and you get out there, and, you know, you pumped up and you're ready to go out there, and they kick the ball off, and you stand in there, and the guy catches it, and he takes off running, and you know, he makes it 5 or 10 yards, maybe if they're playing a good team. If you're playing Central, you probably get about 30 or 40 before you get tackled. But anyway, I can talk bad about them because I played there, so rest of you, meet me in the yard over here after service if you want to. I'm just kidding. I'm not about that life anymore. Look at me. But anyway, and this guy takes off running, and he's got the whole field scanned out, and he says, oh, there's a hole there, and I'm going right there, and I come up, and I'm running, and the next thing he knows, there's this big D1 scholar going to the University of Alabama, because that's who everybody really wants to be like that, or Georgia, and they come in, and this dude comes up, and boom, knocks this dude smooth on his backside. He's out cold. I've been that guy, and I've been the guy to do it to, you know, put the guy on his back. It's awesome either way. You get up and you just go again. But that's the thing. You get up and he gets back in the huddle and he goes over to his team and he says, hey guys, we got this. Let's go. That looked bad, but let's pick it up. Let's do it again. And we're going to go. And we go. And he gets out and they get on the line and he lines up and say he's a receiver and he runs his route and he throws him the ball and hopefully he catches it and they make yards. Or maybe he's the running back and the line does what they're supposed to do and he gets yards. But somewhere, some way, somebody is trying to take his head off. May I tell you, I got to get out of describing the football because I got to get into the message. May I tell you that life is exactly the same way. You got to pick up the ball. You got to choose which team you're on. You got to decide offense or defense, whichever one you're playing, that you're going to do the best of your ability, that the guy that's lined up across you, I wish Josh Winchell was here again tonight. I would do the same thing over again that Pastor had us do right here. I don't care how much bigger he is. If he's just like then, when I was the bad guy and his family was standing there, my family that's right here, I would do it all over again. I don't care how big he is. Josh is my friend. I feel safe to say this. I would go to whatever extent that I could. If there was a baseball bat sitting there, I'd knock his knee out because he ain't getting to my family. That's the way I look at the adversary. And that's exactly how life is. You're going to, the defense ultimately is coming for your prize, and this is the prize. They want the ball. They want to go down. They want to score because they want to be victorious, and the offense says you can't have it. And we got to make sure that we are picked up in our mind that we are the offense of this world, that we are going to take the kingdom. We are taking the prize, and we're going to deliver it into the world, into the kingdom, that way that people can be saved. Advance. Advance. There was a word that kept relaying in my mind. Advance. I'm gonna make him something of this scribble here in a minute. But I feel to just kind of go, I know that I'm talking a little bit out loud to myself, but y'all understand. In the game of football, you got four quarters. One game, four quarters. In life, you got one life. You got childhood, preteen, teenager, and adulthood. There's your four quarters. In the first quarter, you're learning how to do this or do that. You're learning the other team and what they can do a little bit. And you had the scheme to start with, but you're really learning their scheme. And, you know, you're picking up here and putting down there. And, you know, you're going through. And just like kids, they're learning how to do things. And getting through the first quarter. Then you go to the second quarter, and by that time you hope that you got everything figured out. And you start to actually progress in some areas. Just like a preteen, things start happening in life. By that time you hope that there's been a good enough seed planted that, you know, you can take that seed and you can progress that seed and it can start to grow. That begins to turn into a fruitful or beginning, a baby side, a sapling or whatever, look at it as a tree, into that teenager stage where things start to grow and things start to produce. That's the third quarter. And then you've got the fourth quarter where you go from the teenage, which hopefully by this time that you're really actually fruitful in the teenage years, but as you become more of a young adult and into adulthood and you reach that fourth quarter, you should by that time be really knowing how the defense or the adversary works and how you can defend him to keep you from being stopped or stopping him, and you're playing the defense because he may be progressing, whatever it is, offense or defense, you should learn by that time how to play the game. Back it up here. But four quarters, one shot. I can think of several instances in the Bible, and I can't go through all of them, so I picked a few. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 19, and I'm going to stop right here for just a second. The youth should be very familiar with these scriptures. Background. I'm stealing my youth's message. And here's the reason why. I know I'm getting off of this in a second. Let me tell you what the youth is doing. Brother Rick made mention at our fireside chat something about how a fire has been lit. Or what fire they lit under us. There's a fire obviously lit by our pastor because he helps hold us accountable and that's his job and the assistant pastor, so on and so forth. But at the beginning of the year, my wife and I made a commitment that we might have not been the greatest of youth pastors, the youth pastors of our capability. And this year we wanted to try to do things different. So a couple Wednesday nights ago, and I know this is halfway through the year, but we've been working up to it. Halfway through the year, I said, you know what? We fixin' do some table talks. If my job as a youth pastor is to make sure that the youth are ready for the world, that the youth are ready for the next step in life, that I have to make sure that they're ready, I can come to Sundays or Wednesdays and I can teach my heart out. But that does not mean that they are receiving it or that they're going home to be a part of any other form of godliness or anything of the such, which I hope and pray to God that they all are. I believe that they are. But do they really go home and study, or do they really go home and pray? So I started this thing called table talk, which is a known thing. And the past two Wednesdays, This is what they're required to do. I don't teach. I just pick up what they put down and I put it all together. And for the past two Wednesdays, I have had the youth come together and bring me what they read through the week and give me what they got out of what they read, so that I know that they are reading, that they are studying, that they are digging into the Word to gain knowledge for themselves, not off of what another man or woman says, that they are doing it for themselves. And the first Wednesday night, I didn't take as many notes as I did last Wednesday night, but each kid came up and give what they had. I started with Emma, and I went through, you was gone that week, wasn't you? Yeah, you was gone the first week. I don't remember. Either way it goes, I know I started with Sam, or not Sam, Emma. But long story short, there was three or four that give their stuff. My brother showed up and randomly had something that he had no idea what we were doing. And it just so miraculously worked together that every scripture that every child had read created its own little meshed-in message. It went so fluently together, and I could take it and I could make something out of it. The second week, did it again. The ones that weren't there the week before, they came and they gave what they had read, and they gave a small little lesson out of it. And I'm semi-picking on Caden here, but the first week he forgot his book, so he wasn't able to give what he had got. But God knew what he was doing. Because out of the, you know, the Uncle Taylor, but also the mean youth pastor, Brother Taylor, I made him go first on the second Wednesday because he forgot his stuff the first Wednesday. But it was so God, because what he had read and what he had got went so perfectly with the other stuff for the second week that the other kids brought. If he would have went with the first week, it wouldn't have went together. But these kids, your kids, have brought their own messages meshed together. And if they're not talking to each other about it, it works even better. And I don't think that they have, but they bring their own stuff. Lord have mercy, excuse me. They bring their own stuff, and they talk about it, and I take it, and I mesh it all together where they may not understand how it goes together, but God allows me to bring it together. So this was Addie's scriptures that just so eloquently works with this as well. So Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 19, I'm going to read it off of there. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage, I can't hardly see it. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me. Was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And I think, go ahead with more scripture or two. Let me go back here. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Sorry. It's actually supposed to be 15 through 29. Sorry, but I can't read all that anyway. You know the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Let's just go ahead with the message. there's a king called, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar that says, if, you know, you will bow to this thing in which I have created, this image in which I have created, and three men stand up, or three boys stand up and say, I will not bow to the image in which you have created, because I know a God that is the only God, the one God, the true God that's been tested, tried, and true. I worship that God, and I will not worship your God. And therefore, I will not bow when the music is played, and you'll just have to throw me in the fire. I don't care. But if my God does not deliver me, I still will not bow to thy God. Turn the furnace up 7 times hotter. This is what Addie said that she got out of it. And I'm going to make the points in verses 17 through 18. Says, even if he don't come through, I'm still going to trust him. In verse number 25, God was with them in the fiery furnace. There was the fourth man in the fire, that he has been there time and time again. And they walked freely. In verse 27, that it says that they come out completely unharmed. In verse number 29, that there is no other God that can do the saving like that. There is no other God that can take what you have, the mess that you have made, and make it something. There is no other God that can take the broken pieces and put it back together to make something beautiful. There is only one God. And when I tell you that you have to choose the team that you play for, when you pick up the trophy and you go to advance, you better make sure that you were playing for the right team. Because if you're not, there's a fiery furnace that's worse than the one that they got through in. You better choose wisely the road that you walk. You better choose wisely the things that you pick up. And choose wisely, this may sound crazy, the things that you put down. If we go on a little further, there's no doubt that in the minds of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that there were some setbacks along their journey, because I do serve this God that I know that has been tried and true, that I've seen do the miraculous, or I know can do the miraculous. And you know, I serve this God, but I don't understand maybe why that he would put me in a situation like this, and I would have to make the decisions that I have to make, or any of the such. But even if God doesn't come through, not gonna serve the image that you've created, I still don't understand why that God would place me here. And I feel like, you know, I just took, you know, 100 steps forward, but I just now got faced with a 200 step back. There's going to be setbacks in life. In football, I talked a while ago about how if you're on offense, you really hope that the defense gets a penalty so that you can get 5 or 10 or 15 yards for free. Wouldn't it be awesome that if they would just mess up that much, that you start on the 20 and you find yourself basically given a touchdown because they can't get things right? That would be awesome. I wish everything come free like that. Unfortunately, newsflash, it don't. Sometimes you just have to pick up the word. You have to pick up the sword, and you have to take it, and you have to cradle it, and you have to make sure that it's safe, and you have to just take the few inches that you can take. That just like in football, that, you know, you might have got sacked about 5 yards back, but I can still get back up from that position, and I can look forward in the right direction, and I can say, I'm going to advance. I'm going to take another step. I don't care what the other 11 says, but I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to take this thing that God has given me, this playbook that God has given me, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to push my way through. I don't care how big the adversary looks. I don't care how small I feel. I don't care how much depression. I don't care how much oppression. I don't care what it is. I'm going to take this word. I'm going to hide it in my heart, and I'm going to advance the kingdom. Just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. If you read on into the scriptures, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar, I can't remember exactly what it says, but basically, do you still have those scriptures pulled up? Can you go to, I think it's to verse 30? I love the babies. If you ever lose the love of the babies, I hate it for you. Think of Pastor. I'll do it this way. Sorry. I got to have the scripture. There it is. It says in verse 30, after all the things that had happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after all the things that they've been through, it says right here, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You just took something that you just tried to kill that you couldn't kill because it's of God and you are not of God. And you took that very thing and now you realize that, hey, that's true and that's real and I want to be a part of it. So I'm going to promote it. Told you, when something bad happens, you better be expecting the good to happen afterwards. I'm fixing to ramble again. I'm sorry I got the spirit of pastor on me here. I am so sick and tired of hearing the troubles of all the things going on. I'll put my stuff out there again. I've had no telling how many financial things that's happened and how many decisions we've had to make to do this or to do that or not to do this or not to do that. When you're making good money, you've got 6 to 8 months worth of works scheduled out and everything's looking great. And then your turbo on your diesel truck goes out and then you got to have a transmission and your AC goes out and your refrigerator goes out and your water heater's terrible, so you got to replace that as well. And you got to have tires because otherwise you're going to be having a blowout because I haul heavy typically. And thank God now I got the opportunity to buy a truck that I don't have to use my good truck for as much anymore. But all these things happen, and then not only do you spend an extra $20,000+ that you just got saved up and everything was looking good and you were riding the gravy train and it was awesome and you could tell your kids, yeah, I'll go buy you that and we can go do this and we can go do that. And then all of a sudden, all these things happen and the next year rolls around and the business seems to see a couple of cancellations on good money and this thing goes wrong and that thing goes wrong and income slows and you have all of these things going on. And your finances are so tight that you just want to scream and hit the wall and fall on the floor and give up. I've been there. I've been there. I'm so sick and tired of hearing it. I'm so sick and tired of seeing it because it's not only me. It's been across the church. I know it has. I've heard some of you talk. I've heard some conversations and so on and so forth. It's not, you're not alone. But I can tell you right now, my God says, try me. Try me. And I say, oh, Jesus, it's me again. The guy that you know that's been down here struggling to make it ever so often, and when I get paid, the bills that are semi past due, they're still in the grievance period, but those bills are due. Then I got this bill that I got to pay. Well, turn right back around, I get those bills paid, and then I got to get paid again to pay these bills. And you're playing with a fine line of savings here to keep yourself afloat. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for pity. I'm not saying that. I've been there though. And it's across the board. But if you will get with me, if you will just receive what I'm trying to put out there, I just feel to say that it's over. I feel I don't know if I'm going to get to the rest of the message, but I just feel to say that it's over, because I feel so strongly that there's if we could just pick up the Word of God, and we could put on the whole armor of God, and if we could just take what Jesus has for us, I promise you that it will be finished. I recall the words that Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." If you go over, and I'm going to hurry quickly through the rest of this. If you look at Elijah, you're fixing to hear my goal for this youth group. If you look at Elijah, and you look at all the things that Elijah done, and all the things that Elijah saw, and then he walks past this young man that wants to follow him, and his name is Elisha, and Elisha turns down all of this stuff to gain this stuff, and he follows Elijah, and even when Elijah says, "I pray that you stay here," because Elijah knows that I'm about to be gone. And Elisha says, No. I'm not going to stay here. I'm meant to follow you. And if we can have that same mindset about God, if we can say, "No, God, I'm not staying here. You're going there, and I'm going with you. I don't care about what I see in between here and there. I don't care if there's 1,000 people. I don't care if there's 1,000 mountains. What's between here and there? If you're going, I'm going." So Elijah goes and Elisha follows. And then he gets to this place and he looks at Elisha again. He says, "I pray that you stay here." And Elisha says, "No, Elijah, I am supposed to follow you, and I'm going to follow you wherever you go." Does it twice. I just read it a while ago. Go find it for yourself. Does it twice. But the great thing about this story is, and this is why, this is my goal for the youth group this year. This is what I look forward. So if you want to take notes on this for our meeting, sorry. This is my goal for the youth group. You are looking at a group of Elishas. I will not stop until I see the miracles and the signs and the wonders that Elisha and Elijah saw. You can't tell me that a man can walk this earth and see another boy following him, and then this guy does this great work, but then this guy can do greater than that. The Bible says, "Greater works than these shall ye do." Then why are we sitting on a padded chair in a Pentecostal church, in an apostolic church, and not seeing miracles happen in the services that we stand and that we sit in? I do not want to be a part of what was once time talked about. I wrote it down over here somewhere, but it says the times of old need to be the times of now. I asked the youth group in the class the other day, "When's the last time that you saw somebody get up out of the wheelchair and walk? When's the last time you saw blinded eyes healed? When's the last time that you saw the dumb speak? When's the last time? When's the last time?" Can you guess what the answers are? "I saw God do this once. I saw God do that once." Let's get past the small little things, and they're not small. All miracles are great, but let's look past the small little things. Let's look at what God can really do. Why can't God come into this place tonight, and why can't God heal the sickness and heal cancer in somebody's body? Why can't God come in here tonight and somebody walk through that door or roll through that door in a wheelchair that might be 15 or 16 years old and never known what it was like to be a kid, because they've always known the wheels in the seat of a chair? Why can't they come in the place and the youth or the elders of the church go and pray and speak the name of Jesus with faith and with boldness, and the kid get up out of the chair and walk and run in praise and in worship? I don't want the times of old to be spoken of that was times of old. I want it to be spoken about that this is the time of now. We want now faith. We want now miracles. We want it all to flow into this place. And if I have to be honest with you, I will push this youth group. I told them the other day, If you walk in those doors, you better be so filled and so ready that I don't care if it does seem as minor as a toenail being broke and somebody's in pain and hurting. You ought to be able to walk over to that situation and say, be healed, and it not be abnormal. There should be absolutely nothing abnormal in the miraculous in God's house. It should be very normal for you to walk in God's house and see the miraculous, see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, see somebody baptized in Jesus' name. Pastor has spoken. There's no reason we should be happy with 3 people being baptized a year. It should be 3 people a week or more. So Elisha, generation, I speak this to you. Can you pull up Ephesians chapter 6? Verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, of having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When I look at Elisha and I think about Elisha or Elijah, I would like to think that they were wrapped in the armor of God. May I ask you once again, as I'm coming to a close, are you a pretender or a contender? Because in the game of football, I can tell you, you can put 11 men out there on the field, but all 11 men that are out there on that field aren't sold out to what they're doing, and they aren't bound together like an army coming onto that field to fight for the victory that's at the end of the fourth quarter. If they're not come together and there's this one off thing, one off player that didn't prepare, that didn't want to put in the work ethic, they're just there maybe because their name's so great in the city or in the county, or they're just there because maybe the guy that was supposed to be there is gone, or whatever the situation may be, one person can mess it all up. The pretenders can mess it up. You know, you can come in here, put on your suit coat and your tie, wear your nice shirts and pants and shoes. Maybe I should have wore a normal outfit since all my suits were at the dry cleaner. I don't know. I probably would have got banned off the platform for a minute. I would have cleared it before I did that. That ain't fooling nobody. I can come in here and I can look the part, but I may not live it. I can come in here and I can put on this front on Sundays or on Wednesdays, but that doesn't mean that I'm living it Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or even Sunday evenings in this case, because we don't have Sunday evening service. Or I can make up in my mind once again that I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to strap up my chin strap, and after I put my helmet on, and I'm going to put my shoulder pads on, and I'm going to do all of these things, and I'm going to gear up, and I'm going to make sure that I prepare by the reading and the studying of the Word and prayer at my altar, and I'm going to make sure that I listen for the Word of God, and that I make sure that I pay attention to the playbook or the play that's called, and I can make sure that I sell out 100%. And I can be a contender in this race for heaven, in this race for the kingdom. So I ask you once again, I wish I had it, but it was, they already had everything figured out, and that's fine. I want to ask you a question. Some of you may have seen it, some of you may not. Y'all can come if you want to. Music and give them some hope. There's a picture dealing with matches. They've got a line of matches across the board. And it's probably got 5 or 6 over here that's been burned. There's one that's been pulled down, and the rest of them are untouched. That one offset piece put the fire out for the rest of the matches. I don't want to be called guilty at the end of this walk of life because I was a pretender. I want to be a contender to hear the great and awesome words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Well done. I ask you, as you stand to your feet, when's the last time that you checked yourself? When's the last time that you saw the miraculous? If you looked yourself in the mirror and you looked over your life, would you be a pretender or a contender? These altars are open. If you need to come, lay your heart out on the altar. Jesus. If you need to come and make things right with God, I ask that you do this evening. The Bible says that this is for everyone. The Holy Ghost, this race that we run for the kingdom is for everyone. And I don't want to be the guy that stands or gets to go and watch the fellow loved ones fall behind, and I don't want to be the one that falls behind either. So I ask you tonight, if there's anything inside your heart that you need to check yourself on, please do. I'm begging you. I'm not exempting myself out of this. I had to check myself before even preaching a message like this. God, I pray that I will be the strongest contender. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus.